As an employee-owned financial firm, Baird offers advice solely focused on clients' needs, while consistently investing in their expertise and capabilities to serve those in need. More information at baird-difference.com.
Are you guys going back to work at City Hall? Where are you on the grand opening of things, or things returning to normal here downtown?
Yeah, well, City Hall never closed. Actually, sure. We've operated day by day through the thing. We have changed protocols. We have meetings in the lobby, for example, still, rather than having people go through the City Hall and individual offices, and that seems to work. It's basically going to be a decision department by department on how to bring people back. There are definitely people back, of course, a lot every day. But we're letting each department kind of manage. If, you know, we've all learned, a lot of people have learned how to do work at home, and we've had the policy of letting people work at home for many years, but it just wasn't used as much. And I think we're going to have each department trying to decide what works well for them to accomplish their goals and make sure everybody can get fully into work.
Excellent. And how about city council meetings? I know, what does the state require, and what will we do here locally? Obviously, we have to do what the state demands us to do, but let me know how that, 'cause I know people love the convenience of opening up Zoom, putting their feet up on their back deck and watching the meeting. But we also know some people like to get amongst it and get involved downtown, maybe bang on a podium or two to get somebody's attention.
Well, this basically is driven by the state emergency orders, which are currently scheduled to end at the end of this month. The governor could change that, but I kind of expect that they will let that emergency authorization conclude. He may have even stated, I'm just not certain. But in any event, there's new legislation at the state level that allows continued hybrid meetings. They have certain rules. You have to have at least half of your group in a quorum, half plus one, present in person. They actually even have rules like, basically, you can't have the same people not present every time. You kind of have to rotate it around. And so I think you'll see this hybrid approach where you'll have a majority of people at a board or a city council meeting or a plan commission meeting or public safety or whatever in person, but also allowing some of the board members or council members to participate remotely and the public. I don't think we're going backwards. I think we've taken this on as a new thing.
We just have to make sure that if they say only X amount of council people can Zoom and X have to be live, then we'll have to get on some kind of rotation list. Oh, geez, that'll be.
I was a little surprised. The legislation actually does say, like, any one member of the board cannot be remote more than twice in a row.
Yeah, I was reading that, and that's what sparked this.
Whatever.
Yeah,
I don't know what problem they're fixing, but they're fixing something in their mind. So
they're adding a layer of now. Do you have to turn those time cards into the supervisor?
I don't know.
Sounds like the NCAA's got a handle on that. Heck, they've got a rule for everything and two rules to make sure those rules get executed. John Hamilton's the mayor. He joins us this afternoon. And good news we heard last week, 3 weeks in a row, nobody at City Hall or on the payroll there has had COVID. That wasn't the case maybe back in April. So you've had a good run of form here. I hope you're still passing out $100 bills.
We are. We're aiming toward 500 now to get up to the $100 bills. And I'll just remind people, half of that is paid for by our healthcare company, health provider, who agreed to do that for the, because it's a good thing to keep everybody safe. So and well, we keep plugging along. I'm pleased, of course, when we have another week with no positive cases. And every Friday and Wednesday we review where we are, the hospitalizations, the deaths, and the case rates, and so far so good. And as you know, I'm really pleased that both Indiana University and IU Health have taken a big step to make sure a lot of people in our community are vaccinated, and that's really going to help us.
And again, the more we can get, the more we can figure out. I'm going to talk to Dr. Chuck Carney tomorrow. Indiana University has kind of had to shift their angles and how They're going to get everything going. Now they're offering tuition, Colts tickets, free books, et cetera, et cetera. I mean, why not? If it's not the stick, it's the carrot, right? You've got to find a way.
You got a PhD who can explain all that to you, so that's good. Chuck can take you all through that stuff. So.
I'll leave the law talk for you. We'll find somebody who knows something about epidemiology at some point in this discussion. Mayor John Hamilton is our guest today. He checks in every Tuesday. We try to keep you updated on everything that's happening in city business. We've got a big list of things going on. But last Thursday, you were down on 7th Street, just east of Indiana Avenue, between the Memorial Union and north of Dunn Meadow there.
Yeah.
And the official, unofficial, well, was there a magic? Was there that big metal shovel, that the show shovel, or did you cut a ribbon? What did we kick off with the 7 line last week?
I volunteered to use the backhoe and start tearing up the pavement, but they thought better of that. We called it the kickoff of the 7 line, and it was a little wet, but that's a good sign of renewal, I'm told, afternoon. And it's just an exciting project. They're at it full bore right now on 7th Street to really remake that corridor from all the way from the Beeline east to the Union, and put in a protected bike lane and enhance the pedestrian experience. It'll be better for transit buses, a better flow back in east and west. It's not a rail corridor, so it won't feel just like the Beeline, but we're doing the best we can to create this east-west linkage for pedestrians and bikes, and I'm real excited about it. All the work will be done this year. You and I talked about that date.
Right.
The area east on campus, the east of Indiana, will be done before school starts, but it's going to take a little farther into the fall to finish it all the way to the Beeline.
Yeah, and we hope we get good weather for that. I mean, it's 0.7 miles, so it's not exact. We're just not going from one stop sign to another stop sign. That will take a little bit of activity as well. But if we do it in parts instead of closing 0.7 miles all at once, that has to make it a little bit more palatable for walkers, joggers, bikers, local businesses, all the above, because it just seems like the section in front of where you're at, that won't be all summer. It will just be a portion of it.
Yes, it's done segment by segment.
That was the word I was looking for. Gee whiz. Think get a radio show. Talk on the air and talk out loud a little bit. When it's all done, Mayor Hamilton, is the goal to shift traffic from 3rd Street, 10th Street, whatever it is? What was the genesis behind this for people that are just trying to figure out why we chose 7th Street instead of maybe one of those other options?
Yeah, well, all this comes in a big transportation plan that looks at all kinds of issues and balances lots of different things. But this east-west corridor for biking and pedestrian transit and mobility was a big question in the transit transportation plan, and 7th Street proved to be in that plan a really optimal big east-west line. It runs, of course, all the way through campus, and actually campus has done some really nice things with it. And then east from campus, you've got greenways that were already established, meaning kind of designated as a good way to go east from campus all the way out to 446. So the long-term plan is really to have that multi-mile east-west connection all the way from the east side. And then, you know, 7th Street goes under the bypass, so that's a good, really important connector there for bikes and pedestrians. And this is just the first phase, so I hope we'll be able to move on to other phases in future years.
Yep, and that's all been bonded and paid for as well. So if people are wondering, well, you're a little late to the party, but we're just telling you it's kicking off. The kickoff celebration was last Thursday, and we'll keep an eye on that progress as we move forward. I talked to our great friend Jordan Davis from the Chocolate Moose. He's the operations manager there. He precedes you at 3:40 every Tuesday, and he's the organizer of Food Truck Friday. So we had a discussion about how, that was... As the kids say, well, that was off the hook last Friday as Switchyard Park was packed. And you were down there. You had a firsthand look.
I did. I didn't want to miss it. It was a beautiful afternoon, and I popped down there for 45 minutes or so, and there were hundreds of people, and the band was rocking, and the pavilion was full with the adult beverages, and there were food trucks with long lines, and just people in the splash pad and on the playgrounds and walking around, biking. It really felt, I hadn't quite seen Switchyard activated so many different ways at the same time. It was really fun to see.
Well, and that's exactly why it was put together as well, because even if you had no inkling for food trucks or music or being around the pavilion, there was a splash pad, playground, bocce ball, pickleball, yeah, basketball, ride your bike, walk your dog. Now the dog park's open. Now what isn't open there? Everything's ready to go, right?
Everything's open, yep.
So that has to be exciting. Now, the question somebody asked me after Food Truck Friday was, well, if we can all gather around, stand in line, rub shoulder to shoulder while we're waiting for food, now why can't we have a parade, or why can't we do a fireworks display downtown? What's the difference in this, Mr. Mayor, that we can do one but not the other?
Yeah, that's a really good question and a fair question. The short answer is each event has to get approved at the time based on what we know at the time. And I can tell you, I know the parade decision and the fireworks decisions were made many weeks ago before we got to the place where we are now. And those are big events that have a long lead time, and contracting with a fireworks provider is a many-month contract. And so, unfortunately, I think at the time when those decisions had to be made, it wasn't prudent. We just couldn't be sure what it would be like. We didn't know what the spread of the virus was going to be like and all that. So just be patient. As Penny Caudill, the health department director, says, it's complicated getting into a pandemic. It's complicated getting out of one, too. So, but those are basically timing decisions that just had to be made pretty early.
And with the parade, since it's mainly on city grounds, city streets, and everything else, is that something that could be changed by the health department? I know we don't have a ton of time. We've got a little bit less than a month on that, but is there any recourse to change from the reverse parade back to the normal parade route?
No, I think that truck, that ship has sailed. It is also relevant to note that in a parade, it's a little different if you have, I've been in that parade a bunch of times, and you have people really jammed in together closely at certain parts where you'd have, it's quite a different experience from what I saw at the Switchyard too. So we're just being careful, and, you know, people have to be patient. I'm sorry if it's regrettable, but we're trying to be safe, and we're making our way out of this step by step.
And the reverse parade will be at the parking lot at Indiana University. We'll get you more details as we get closer.
Yeah, now think about
that.
It this way, Mike. When's the last time you got a reverse parade, and when are you going to see one again? You know, maybe it'll be something interesting.
Innovation. the last time I guess our friends at Ivy Tech, they did like the drive-through graduation. And it's a similar thing. You drove through, you came out, jumped out of the car quickly, shook the chancellor's hand, got back in the car, next car came through. So
there you go.
It's better than nothing. I know it's not optimum, and I know that people will make arguments, and that's fine. They're allowed to argue. I don't have a problem with that. I never tell anybody how to think in these deals, but those questions needed to be asked, and we appreciate you giving the answers. Fireworks makes sense. That's a contracted deal. No one's sitting around 3 weeks from the 4th of July saying, hey, boy, I'd love to shoot off some of my fireworks here. So
yeah.
I get that for sure. Now, the story that was turning the internet upside down and clicking last night, you already know where I'm going with this, was we heard helicopters, and we heard some booms and some crashes and everything else. The public wasn't notified before this happened unless you were in an immediate area of this training exercise. The military was in town last night. They were doing some work. Your houses shook and vibrated. Tell us why we weren't allowed or preferred to know about it beforehand, and why this was important to get done.
Sure, and thanks for asking about it. So this was a military exercise, national security exercise that was conducted by the United States military, and they had communicated to my office, to the city, as well as to law enforcement ahead of time to let us know it was coming. They did explicitly request and instruct that broad public education and notification not be done in order not to compromise the safety and security of the exercise. And you can kind of imagine how that is important. We want to cooperate. This is part of national security and protecting our homeland and each other. And I know that there were flyers shared in the immediate vicinity of the exercises, but when you have helicopters involved, the immediate vicinity, it may not be the immediate neighbors, and I know some people can get disturbed by hearing such things. I'm sorry that happens, but, you know, I think as people will understand that when they're doing pretty serious national security exercises, they don't want a bunch of people hanging around filming it and sharing it, sure, with everybody and being in the vicinity. And our law enforcement were there to help make sure everybody stayed safe. And I'm sorry that we live in a world where we have to have these kind of exercises, but we do. And we wanted to be good neighbors and good partners as they practice this.
So the billion-dollar question is, why did they select Bloomington? I mean, you might not have that direct answer, but is this something we're on a normal rotation for, or how did we get involved?
Yeah, you know, I don't really have a good answer for that. I know, they came a fair distance here. There were some aspects of the building that they used, a vacant building, and some of the things around it and the terrain. But I have to tell you that sometimes we just trust that you know, choices are made for various reasons. I'll try to find out, but I think it's basically the ones designing the exercise have criteria that they use, and we came out, I guess. So there you go.
Very nice. Well, I knew a couple years ago or so they used the Seven Oaks School building in Ellettsville for one of these, and I think that was again, just those things stick out in your mind because they don't happen. Yeah. They don't happen very often. So we heard one helicopter at our house, and we thought, oh, okay, that's going to Monroe Hospital or IU Health Hospital, and then we heard another and another and another. Oh, geez. So I hopped on the internet, and thankfully there are many curiosity seekers. And well, somebody put that note up so you could at least share that with your friends or put it on. So social media, again, kind of quieted the nerd. Do you have a report, or would that be the county? Were people calling 911 or local dispatch to say, hey, what's going on, or was it, or what?
You know, that's a good question, Mike. I don't know whether 911 got a bunch of calls. I expect they probably got some, and were able to, I hope, settle people down. You know, it's interesting. You make me remember Miskatonic, and in my old career, I used to be in charge of that when it was a center for people with developmental disabilities for many decades. But when it was closed, it's now become a national, maybe even international center for this kind of training when they're doing it at a designated place like that. But then I guess in some circumstances they want a little more, even more realistic urban environment. So. I hope people will understand the reasons for it and also the reasons for not widely publicizing when and where something like that happens, and hope we can move on and hope we're a little bit safer because of it.
And we should be, for sure. One of the projects that we know that we've been following here for the last couple months, the Hidden River Project. Have you found the hidden? Have you found it yet?
You know, that's a hard thing to name. It used to be called the Big Dig, and I didn't really like that because I do like the idea that we remember there's a river running underneath downtown Bloomington, and it goes in at 6th and Indiana, and it comes out at 1st and College, and there's a river running underneath, and we need to keep repairing it, and that's a big project for this year and into next. I will give you a little heads up. I can't remember if we've even talked about it, but what I'm hoping in the future is we'll be able to actually have some surface level indications of where that river is. So when you're walking through, you'll realize you're crossing a river right now when you're walking across 3rd Street or
glass bottom sidewalks, baby. The wave of the future.
There you go. There you go.
Well, that's interesting because that would be interesting. That would be I'm excited to see what just exactly what that would be. So that makes
well,
sense.
Well, stay tuned.
I will. We have all these street projects. I can't see the Hidden River from here, but the 7 line. Oh, I'll be on the 7 line ready to go. Well, you had a better weekend at the pools this weekend, and I forgot to mention the military thing. If you could ask them to do that like at 4 o'clock in the afternoon so it drowns out all the cicadas, if we had I think even the cicadas would be, wow, that's louder than we can do.
I don't know. They might. It might be too dangerous to fly into all those cicadas. I don't know. What the heck?
Good point. Pool's got a better weekend. They're open and ready to go as well. I told the story. We were over at Bryan Park last week, and it was hot. And boy, the cicadas, there are a few of them out there. They're just.
I was walking by the pool a couple nights ago when it was pretty chilly, but man, there were 40, 50 people in the water, and obviously they get used to it, but it didn't feel like jumping into me at the time. But it's warming up now, and we sure hope people can enjoy the pools unlike last summer, and please get out there and do enjoy the parks.
Yep, heated pools, and the parks are ready to go, even if you have an 11-year-old daughter who turns 11 today. She is not thrilled with the cicadas. The 7-year-old boy loves it. 11-year-old daughter it's the buzzing. Great job as always, Mr. Mayor. We always appreciate your time. Did we get everything off our list? Is there anything else you want to add to us?
I think next time maybe we can catch up. We had a significant announcement about housing and affordable housing finance and some new steps and ideas, but it's probably worthy of a little more than a 30-second issue. But we keep working on things, and we'll look forward to a good and safe week for everybody, and I'll check back in with you next week.
Excellent. We'll put that one on the top of the list next week, and who knows what another week will bring. Stay tuned, right? Thanks for your time, my friend. I appreciate it. Have a fantastic weekend. Oh, and I'm on vacation next week, so I will talk to you in 2 weeks. 2 weeks' time on the 22nd. So I appreciate that. I haven't been out of here in 18 months.
I was thinking, Mike. I don't think you've missed a week that I remember. You need some time, man.
Thank you. I appreciate that. But I'm looking forward to it.
Time.
Yeah, we'll have a great one, and I will talk to you when I get back on the 22nd.
Thanks a bunch.
Thank you, my friend. John Hamilton's the mayor of the city of Bloomington. He answers most of our questions, almost all of them, well, the ones he can, on Tuesday afternoons just after 4:05. If you've missed anything, I recorded it this week. I remembered. That's good. We will